Welcome, everyone. Today, we are going to talk about one of the most powerful, dangerous, and feared men in history, Genghis Khan. His name brought terror to millions. Wherever he went, he left nothing but destruction. He built the largest empire in the world, but at a terrible cost. He is said to have killed at least 40 million people. Men, women, children, even animals, no one was spared. Kingdoms fell, cities burned, and entire civilizations were wiped out. But how did a poor boy born in a harsh land become the most feared warrior in history? How did a simple child who had nothing rise to control half of the world? This is the real story of Genghis Khan, a story of power, betrayal, bloodshed, and destiny. And most importantly, this story will help you improve your English and vocabulary. So, listen carefully. If you read this aloud, your pronunciation and fluency will improve. Reading helps you understand past tenses and sentence structure. Speaking practice. Try reading this story out loud. Our story begins in the year 1162 in the cold, endless grasslands of Mongolia. There was no comfort, no warmth, and no safety. Life was hard. People lived in small tents, moved from place to place, and fought each other for food and land. In this brutal world, a boy was born. His name was Temujin, the boy who would one day be known as Genghis Khan. His father, Yesugei, was a tribal chief, a strong warrior. When Temujin was born, his father had just defeated an enemy leader named Temujin Ugei. As a tradition, he named his son after the defeated enemy to show that he had power over him. Temujin was not born into peace. He was born into war and blood. And from the moment he opened his eyes, he had to fight to survive. The Mongolian plains were merciless. There were no cities, no schools, no hospitals, only open land, violent tribes, and freezing winters. If you were weak, you died. If you were strong, you fought. Temujin grew up in a small family tent, living with his parents, his three brothers, his sister, and his half-brother. They had very little food, only drinking horse milk and eating wild animals when they could catch them. But there was one rule in Mongolia: if you are strong, you lead. If you are weak, you die. And this rule would soon change Temujin's life forever. One day, when Temujin was around 9 years old, his father, Yesugei, was poisoned by enemies. Yesugei had made the mistake of eating food given by a rival tribe. As soon as he ate, he fell to the ground, coughing blood, his body shaking. He knew he was dying. He looked at his son Temujin and said, "Son, you must be strong. You must never trust anyone. If you are weak, they will kill you." And with those last words, his father died. Temujin, his mother, and his siblings were now alone. They were abandoned by their own tribe. Their own people betrayed them. Temujin's mother, Hoilun, was a strong woman, but no one wanted to follow a widow and her small children. The tribe threw them out, leaving them to starve. Temujin, his brothers, and his mother were now beggars. They lived in the wild, eating rats, birds, and even insects to survive. The Mongolian winters were deadly. The cold was so intense that their fingers would turn blue and their lips would bleed. But Temujin never forgot his father's words. "You must be strong." And one day, something happened that would change him forever. Temujin had an older half-brother named Bektor. As the eldest, Bektor thought he was in charge. He would steal food from the family, taking the best meat and leaving the rest to starve. Temujin hated him. One day, as Bektor once again took their food, Temujin's anger exploded. His eyes turned dark. His heart became stone. He picked up a bow and arrow, aimed it at his brother, and shot him dead. His own blood spilled onto the ground, but Temujin felt no regret, no sadness. He looked at the lifeless body of his brother and said to himself, "If I want to survive, I must kill. If I want power, I must take it." That day, Temujin became a warrior. At the age of 15, Temujin was captured by an enemy tribe. They tied him with wooden shackles and treated him like a slave. But Temujin was not an ordinary boy. He waited for the perfect moment. One night, when the guards were asleep, he saw an opening. He grabbed a wooden club, smashed the guard's skull, and escaped into the night. Barefoot, bleeding, and weak, he ran through the freezing Mongolian plains. The wind cut his face, his breath was short, but he did not stop. When he finally returned to his mother, he whispered to her, "Mother, I will never be weak again. I will build my own tribe. I will take my revenge." From that moment, Temujin's real journey began. Temujin had escaped from his enemies. He had killed his own brother. He had survived hunger, cold, and betrayal. But he was still alone. He had no army, no power, and no tribe. But he had something more important, a dream. He wanted to unite all the Mongolian tribes and become the most powerful leader in history. But before he could rule, he had to fight, suffer, and prove himself. Temujin knew that he could not win alone. He needed strong warriors. He needed people who would stand by him. One day, he met a young warrior named Jamukha. They were the same age, both smart and strong. They became blood brothers, a Mongolian tradition where two people mix their blood and promise to be loyal forever. Jamukha and Temujin trained together, hunted together, and dreamed of ruling together. But fate had other plans. At the age of 16, Temujin got married. His wife's name was Borte. She was beautiful, smart, and strong, just like him. Borte believed in Temujin. She told him, "You are different from other men. You are destined to be great." Her words gave him strength, but their happiness did not last long. One night while Temujin was away, a rival tribe called the Merkits attacked his camp. They burned the tents, stole the horses, and kidnapped Borte. When Temujin returned, he found everything destroyed. His wife was gone. He fell to his knees and clenched his fists. His heart burned with rage. "I will find you, Borte," he whispered, "and I will destroy those who took you." Temujin needed help. He went to his old friend Jamukha and another powerful leader, Toghrul Khan. "Fight with me," Temujin said. "Help me save my wife." They agreed. With an army of 20,000 warriors, they rode across the Mongolian plains. They found the Merkits and attacked. The battle was brutal. Arrows flew through the sky, swords clashed, and men screamed. Temujin fought like a wild beast, cutting down anyone in his path. The Merkits were defeated. Temujin killed their leader and took back Borte. When he saw her, his heart softened. She ran into his arms and whispered, "I knew you would come." But Borte had a secret. She was pregnant. Temujin did not know if the child was his or the Merkit leader's, but he accepted the baby as his own. His family was together again. But this war was only the beginning. Temujin and Jamukha had been like brothers. But as Temujin became stronger, Jamukha became jealous. Temujin believed in loyalty and discipline. He treated all his soldiers equally. But Jamukha believed in the old ways, where only nobles had power. Soon, their friendship broke. Mongolia divided into two sides. Temujin's army, those who wanted change, Jamukha's army, those who wanted the old ways. The two former brothers now became enemies. In 1186, the two armies met. Temujin had 20,000 warriors. Jamukha had 30,000. The battle was bloody. Temujin fought like a demon. His soldiers were loyal and disciplined, They moved like a single force, attacking fast, using strategy. For a moment, it seemed like Temujin would win, but suddenly Jamukha tricked him. He sent thousands of warriors to attack from behind. Temujin's army was trapped. They lost. Temujin escaped, but 10,000 of his men were captured. Jamukha did something horrific. He tortured them. He boiled his enemies alive, broke their bones, and beheaded them. This was a mistake. The Mongolian people saw Jamukha's cruelty and began to fear him. Many left his side and secretly joined Temujin. Temujin learned from his defeat. He swore, "I will never lose again." And this time, he would return stronger. Temujin changed the way Mongolian warriors fought. Loyalty over blood. Before, only nobles could be generals. Temujin changed this. He said, "It does not matter who your father is. If you are strong and loyal, you will lead." This made common warriors love him. Discipline and unity. Mongols used to fight in small groups. Temujin changed that. He organized his army in units of 10, 100, 1,000, and 10,000. They fought as one, three. Speed and fear. Instead of fighting face to face, Temujin trained his men to use fast attacks, trickery, and terror. He turned his warriors into an unstoppable force, like a pack of wolves, and soon he would use them to take revenge. Years later, Temujin returned. This time, he had an unstoppable army. Jamukha's army was not loyal. Many of them betrayed him and joined Temujin. Jamukha had no escape. His own men captured him and brought him to Temujin. Everyone expected Temujin to torture him, just as Jamukha had tortured his men. But Temujin did something shocking. He looked at Jamukha and said, "You were once my brother. I will not make you suffer." Then, he ordered a quick and painless death for Jamukha. The Mongolian tribes saw this mercy, and they respected him. For the first time, all of Mongolia began to unite under one leader, Temujin. In 1206, the Mongolian tribes gathered together. They chose Temujin as their great leader. They gave him a new name, Genghis Khan, which means universal ruler. But Genghis Khan did not want to rule just Mongolia. He looked beyond the horizon and whispered, "The world shall be mine." And with that, the greatest conquest in history began. Genghis Khan knew that the richest land near Mongolia was China. The Chinese kingdoms were powerful, but divided into different dynasties. Xia Dynasty, Western China. Jin Dynasty, Northern China. Song Dynasty, Southern China. Genghis Khan decided to attack Jin Dynasty first because they had insulted him before. When he was a young leader, he sent a message to the Jin Emperor asking for trade, but the emperor replied, "You are just a barbarian. You are nothing compared to us." Genghis Khan never forgot insults. He waited years for the right moment. In 1211, Genghis Khan and his army of 100,000 warriors attacked the Jin Dynasty. The Mongols moved like a storm, burning villages, cutting off food supplies, and using terror to make people surrender. By 1215, they reached Beijing, the capital of Jin. But the city had huge walls, and Mongols were not used to attacking walls. So Genghis Khan changed his strategy. He blocked all food supplies, so people inside the city starved. He used Chinese engineers to build siege weapons. He sent spies to create chaos inside the city. After months of suffering, Beijing surrendered. Genghis Khan and his warriors entered the city like gods. Some say that over 1 million people were killed in the attack. The Mongols burned Beijing to the ground. This was Genghis Khan's message to the world. No one insults the Mongols and survives. After destroying the Jin Dynasty, Genghis Khan wanted to expand westward. At that time, Khwarezm Empire, modern Iran, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, was one of the richest empires in the world. The Khwarezm Shah ruled over millions of people. Genghis Khan did not want war. He wanted trade. He sent 500 Mongolian merchants to the Khwarezm Shah with a message: "Let us be partners. Mongolia and Khwarezm will trade in peace." But the Shah made a terrible mistake. He killed all the merchants and sent their heads back to Genghis Khan. This was a declaration of war. Genghis Khan was furious. In 1219, he sent an army of 200,000 Mongols to destroy Khwarezm forever. The Mongols moved with lightning speed, using their famous horse archery and hit-and-run attacks. The Shah tried to fight back, but the Mongols were too fast, too disciplined, and too ruthless. The most powerful cities of Khwarezm, Samarkand, and Bukhara fell in days. Before burning Bukhara, Genghis Khan stood in front of the people and said, "I am the punishment of God. If you had not committed great sins, God would not have sent me upon you." Over 1.5 million people were slaughtered. The Mongols burned cities, poisoned wells, and killed every soldier. The Shah ran away like a coward, but Genghis Khan hunted him down. With the fall of Khwarezm, the entire Middle East feared Genghis Khan. By 1223, Genghis Khan's empire stretched from China to Persia. But he wanted more. His army marched towards Russia and Eastern Europe, defeating the Russians, Hungarians, and Bulgarians. But in 1226, something happened that forced Genghis Khan to return home. A small kingdom in western China, Xia Dynasty, Tangut people, had betrayed Genghis Khan. They had promised to support him, but when he was busy fighting in the west, they stopped paying tribute. Genghis Khan was angry. Even though he was in his 60s, he personally led his army to attack the Tangut people. The Mongols destroyed their cities, burned their temples, and killed their royal family. By 1227, the Xia dynasty no longer existed. During the Tangut War, Genghis Khan fell off his horse and was badly injured. Some say he never fully recovered. Others believe he was sick or poisoned. In August 1227, the great conqueror took his last breath. Before he died, he gave his final command: "Do not tell anyone about my death until we finish this war." Even in death, he was a warrior. His body was buried in a secret location, and the Mongols killed anyone who saw the funeral to keep it a secret forever. To this day, no one knows where Genghis Khan is buried, because the Mongols kept it a secret. Some say they killed anyone who saw the grave, covered it with horses, or even changed a river's path to hide it. Many believe he is buried in a Mongolian mountain, but no one has ever found it. The mystery remains unsolved. Even though his grave is unknown, Mongolia honors him with a giant statue near Ulaanbaatar. It shows him riding a horse and is made of shining steel. It is the biggest horse-riding statue in the world. Visitors can go inside and stand on the horse's head to see beautiful views. This statue is a powerful symbol of Mongolia's history and pride. Genghis Khan's personal life, his wives and children. While Genghis Khan was a brutal conqueror, he had a soft side for women. We already know about Borte, his first wife. She was his most trusted woman. Even though she was kidnapped by the Merkits, Genghis Khan loved her deeply. She gave birth to four sons, Yokshi, Chagatai, Ogedei, Tolui. Even though Genghis Khan accepted Yokshi as his son, some Mongols believed he was not the real father because Borte was kidnapped by the Merkits. This created problems in the family, multiple wives from different lands. Genghis Khan believed that marrying women from different tribes would help him create alliances. Every time he conquered a new land, he selected beautiful and intelligent women to be his wives or concubines. Some of his most famous wives were Yesugen and Yesui, sisters from the Tatar tribe, Kulan, a beautiful woman from the Merkit tribe, Chaka, a Chinese princess, Gurbesu, a Persian noblewoman. Genghis Khan had over 500 wives and concubines. It is said that millions of people today are his direct descendants. But no matter how many wives he had, Borte remained his most powerful queen. We often hear about his sons, but very few people know that Genghis Khan's daughters played a huge role in his empire. Genghis Khan had many daughters, but he was not just a loving father. He was also a brilliant strategist. Instead of treating his daughters like ordinary women, he used them as rulers. How did he use his daughters? Whenever Genghis Khan defeated a powerful tribe or kingdom, he did not kill their royal family immediately. Instead, he would say to their ruler, "You can keep your kingdom, but you must marry your daughter to me or my sons." This way, he made sure that his family controlled everything. But here is the genius part. If a king gave his daughter to Genghis Khan, he would allow him to live as a puppet ruler. However, once the daughter became his wife, he sent her back to rule the kingdom in his name. And Genghis Khan always made sure the husband, the king, was sent to fight in war, where he would eventually die. This meant that the kingdom was ruled by Genghis Khan's daughter. The kingdom became a part of the Mongol Empire. No enemy kings were left to rebel against him. Famous daughters of Genghis Khan won. Alakai Beki. She ruled the Tangut people after Genghis Khan's conquest. She was loved by the people and even introduced new laws to help women. 2. Turgene Khatun. She was one of the most powerful women in Mongol history. After Genghis Khan's death, she controlled the empire while his son Ogede was ruling. 3. Alaltun. She was married to the ruler of the Uyghur people and later controlled the region under Mongol rule. 4. Sorghaghtani Beki. She did not rule directly, but she was the mother of Kublai Khan, who later became the emperor of China. His daughters were just as ruthless as their father. They ruled with iron fists and made sure no rebellion could rise against the Mongols. It is believed that Genghis Khan fathered hundreds of children. Today, 1 in 200 men in the world carries his DNA. Even though Genghis Khan died in 1227, his empire did not stop growing. Under his sons and grandsons, the Mongols conquered more land than ever before. The Mongols, led by Hulagu Khan, Genghis Khan's grandson, attacked Baghdad, the heart of the Islamic world. They destroyed the city completely, killing the last Abbasid caliph. This was the end of the Islamic Golden Age. The Mongols, led by Batu Khan, attacked Russia, Poland, and Hungary. In 1241, they won the Battle of Legnica, defeating a combined European army. The Mongols were ready to invade Germany and France, but suddenly Ogede Khan died, and they had to return to Mongolia. In 1271, Genghis Khan's grandson, Kublai Khan, became the Emperor of China. He created the Yuan dynasty, the first foreign dynasty to rule all of China. He moved the capital to Beijing and ruled in a more civilized manner. Even though Genghis Khan was a ruthless conqueror, he also changed the world forever. 1. The largest empire in history. His empire stretched from China to Europe, covering 22% of the world's land. No one before or after him has ever ruled such a large territory. 2. The Silk Road and global trade. He reopened the Silk Road, making trade between China, the Middle East, and Europe easier. Because of Mongol rule, Marco Polo and other Europeans could travel to China. 3. Religious tolerance. Genghis Khan allowed all religions to exist. He protected Buddhists, Muslims, and Christians in his empire. Unlike other rulers, he did not force people to change their beliefs. 4. A new system of laws. He created the Lhasa Code, which was a strict law system. His laws were fair but brutal, ensuring order in his massive empire. Genghis Khan started as a poor boy with nothing. He was betrayed, starved, and hunted. But he never gave up. He fought back, united the Mongols, and built the greatest empire in history. His empire changed the world forever, and even today, millions of people are his descendants. Genghis Khan's story teaches us, never give up, no matter how hard life gets. Think smart and use everything to your advantage. True power is not in strength alone, but in strategy and vision.